got the biggest mouth in this mill. Give us a longer break. Give us more smoking time.
Do it. Now shut up.
If I get shot, they can't shoot the union out of me.
Mastroianni is masterly. It's a beautiful film. You owe it to yourself to see it.
Once social change begins, it can't be reversed. You can't humiliate someone who has pride. And you can't oppress someone who's not afraid anymore.
I'm gonna do what I gotta do, get the union back!
What I realized putting together this list is that there are just so many movies out there. And you almost get that feeling where it's like, I'm never going to be able to see all of these because there's just so many great ones to watch.
That's Joseph Brandt from the Power at Work podcast. They just released the winners of their Labor Oscars this week, many of which are classics of the genre, some going back decades, which is why I wanted to feature them on Labor History Today. And of course, the 96 Academy Awards, the other Oscars, are tonight. And on Labor History in 2.
The year was 1911. That was the day that coal miners in Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania, walked out of the mines. It became known as the Slovak Strike because 70% of the strikers were Slovakian immigrants.
I'm Chris Garlock, and this is Labor History Today. Joseph Brandt, welcome to Labor History Today.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So the Power at Work blog and podcast launched the Labor Oscars 2024 contest this year. What is that and why did you decide to tackle this?
Yeah, so this was a new project that we were really excited to kick off this year. We really wanted to highlight the way that labor has been portrayed in the movies, whether that's good or bad, and lift up some of these films that have real potential for ideological and political change and can be really influential and have been really influential when you look back at the history of some of these films. So we wanted to take the award season film buzz and give it a little labor spin. But we also just wanted to have fun with it. You know, we do a lot of serious talking over at the Power at Work blog. So it's fun to have a bit of a change of pace and offer something a little different for our subscribers. And the idea really came along. It started as a list of movies that were connected to worker power and unions, and we put it up on the blog to kind of gauge interest, and it very quickly became the most viewed post on the Power at Work blog. So I guess our audience is full of film fans and cinephiles, but we were very happy to have them and to kind of develop this into a bigger project where people could give their input, talk about their favorite movies, their least favorite movies, and we had a really good time engaging with our audience in that way, and I hope as everyone will see if they watch the Labor Oscars blogcast, we had a great time doing the awards ceremony with Andrea Lyman, the New England local president of SAG-AFTRA, Harold Phillips, who is a friend of the Labor Radio Podcast Network, and I'm sure very familiar to the listeners of this show, and Jennifer Marin, who is the Alliance of Women Film Journalists president and co-founder. So we had a really great time, and I hope everyone else enjoys it as much as we did.
Well, having directed the DC Labor Film Fest for over 20 years, I can tell you, Joseph, people really do appreciate the chance to take a break from the very serious work of fighting for labor rights and walking picket lines and going to rallies and, you know, go check out a movie and have some popcorn and hang out with your friends. So really glad to have you guys on board and leading on this. Now, you guys set up five categories, best feature film, best documentary film, best international labor film, best worker power profile, easy for me to say. And I have to say, this might be my favorite category, Joseph, worst movie about unions. Like, I can't wait. I can't wait to hear about that. But you went ahead and you did select five nominees in each category. There's a full list of 55 labor movies, and I recommend folks going to the blog and checking that out. But let's cut to the chase, have the envelope, as they say, and talk about the winners. And I think we'll just why don't we take it from the top? Best feature film. Why don't you just quickly review who the nominees were?
For best feature film, we had On the Waterfront, Norma Rae, Madawan, Bread and Roses, and Rustin from this year. Our winner, somewhat unsurprisingly, because this is one of the most loved labor films of all time was Norma Rae from 1979.
20th Century Fox presents Norma Rae.
Norma, you got the biggest mouth in this mill. Give us a longer break. Give us more smoking time.
Do it. Now shut up.
This is the story of a woman with the courage to risk everything for what she knows is right.
Lady, I want you off the premises now.
I started this, and I'm gonna finish it.
I want you out of here right quick.
It's gonna take you and the police department and the national guard to get me out of here.
Norma Rae.
I think one of the main takeaways was that one image of Norma Rae standing up there with the union sign and standing on the table, how influential and impactful that was to so many people, that it's such an actionable, seemingly easy thing to do, but we see how much courage and work that something like that takes. So I think that a lot of people feel really seen by Norma Rae and how real and normal that she feels and how accessible of a character she is.
Good call. Good call. All right. Moving on. Best documentary film. And I'll tell you a funny story on that. I think it was the second year of the DC Labor Film Fest. I think we showed all documentaries and they were all good. But I remember people were coming out and they're like, God, Chris, you know, these are great, but, you know, can't you give us something a little less serious? I learned a lesson that year was, you know, you got to give people a little roses with the bread, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and that's something we tried to keep in mind when we were pulling together this list, is that we want to have all of the very serious, you know, documentaries and very important films that are about more conflicting times, but we also, it's a list of 55. So it can't be a list of 55 depressing kind of downtrodden films. So I will say it was a bit of a struggle because I think that that labor organizers, and I guess the people who make the movies about labor organizers, tend to focus on the conflict of things. But there are definitely some ones in there that are a little more lighthearted.
Got it. All right. So give us the five nominees, if you would.
Sure. The five nominees were Harlan County, USA, 9 to 5, The Story of a Movement, American Dream, one of two on this list, directed by Barbara Kopple, The Hand That Feeds, and The Wobblies.
Good list. Good. Tough list. I'm trying to think of who. Let me just do a guess here, put myself out on a limb. I'm going to go with Harlan County. Barbara Kopple, I think our fifth year at the festival, we gave her our award. She's a wonderful director, just terrific. But I don't know. Who won? I'm on the edge of my seat here.
I'm happy to tell you that you're correct, Chris.
Harlan, Kentucky is coal country, where men work long hours for short wages, where poverty, black lung, and needless disaster are facts of life. In 1973, the men voted to join the United Mine Workers Union. The company refused to sign the contract, and so began the battle of Harlan County, USA.
Which side are you on?
Without organization, you're a lone individual, without influence, and without recognition of any kind.
They're treating us like that. We're animals, dogs. Well, we aren't. We're American citizens.
All of our life, we've been kicked around. We've been put in jail. We've been shot at. We've had dynamite thrown at us. And then you don't want us to have nothing. Well, I tell you, Mr. Horn, I'm going to be standing right there on that picket line looking at you just as long as it takes.
If I get shot, they can't shoot the union out of me.
It's powerful, provocative, exciting and frightening because it's real. Harlan County, USA.
The judges each had a pretty personal connection to this documentary and remembered seeing it and really feeling the spirit of it and feeling so moved by it. And I think that that is something that is not lost at all today. I mean, when you watch the movie, it's the same feelings, the same frustrations that we're still dealing with today. So I think that it is a testament to documentary filmmaking and how you can make something that feels so moving and powerful and really impactful.
Best international labor film. Tell us what the nominees were.
The Organizer from Italy, The Factory from India, Made in Dagenham from the UK, The Land from Egypt, and Germinal from France.
Wow, that I don't know how you got it down to five. I'm you guys are tough.
It was tough. It's so hard to compare them because they're each so important, it feels like, and it all feels like these stories are so unique and almost unheard. This was an exciting category along with the documentaries, but international, I would say, was probably one of the harder ones to narrow down.
I'm gonna make a guess here, and it's really just a personal favorite of mine, although, you know, again, all five of them are excellent choices. I really loved Made in Dagenham. When we first showed it, it was not well known in this country. And it's just an incredibly well-made film. And, you know, I think, as you pointed out earlier, a lot of labor films don't end well. This one is the rare story and film that actually has a win. But who was the winner?
The winner was The Organizer from Italy.
Once in a great while, a motion picture with a mark of greatness on it comes along to win the thunderous acclaim of press and public alike. Such a picture is The Organizer. Market must see, said the New York Herald Tribune. One of the best movies of this and many a year. Mastroianni is masterly. It's a beautiful film. You owe it to yourself to see it.
Classic. You should tell folks a little bit about that, because people may or may not know about it.
Yeah, so The Organizer is a movie from 1963 that was, I would say, very ahead of its time. It's one of the earlier sort of modern takes on a film that we have that features a labor organizer, and it features Marcello Mastroianni really in a powerhouse of a role, just living up to the title. And I really don't want to give too much away, because this one is fun to watch kind of unravel, but it's definitely worth checking out. It's one that's a little harder to find, I'd say, but it's a classic for a reason. And I think it still resonates with audiences, even though it's, you know, a foreign film from 1963.
All right. Best worker power profile. This is not a category you see at the Academy Awards. So
no,
you
it's
get
not.
To... How did you come up with it, and what was the concept there?
Well, the original idea for this category actually came from the Weekly Download, which is something that we do at the Power at Work blog, where we curate news clippings and articles, press releases, and all kinds of things from across the internet, and we sort them into a couple of categories that we have. And one of those categories is worker power profile, which is a more in-depth look at an individual union member, organizer, leader, and the work that they do. So we wanted to expand that to this movie's idea, because there are a lot of union and labor biopics out there, but there are also a lot of great documentaries that are focused on individual people, that are focused on small groups. So we wanted to put those two types of films sort of in conversation with one another. And I think that this came out as a really fun category, because it's a great group of films. And I think that they all fit well together.
I'm just looking at the list here, and it is, I mean, all of them, your whole big list, but also then your shorter, you know, list of nominees. This is a really solid list, and I'm just trying to figure out who might have won. But go ahead and tell us who the nominees were.
The nominees were Cesar Chavez, Union Maids, 10,000 Black Men Named George, Brothers on the Line, and Rustin.
I mean, I got to be honest, you could just show all five of those back to back and have a fabulous evening, don't you think?
Yes, I agree. I think that would be a great time.
Oh, man, you would just come out feeling so wonderful. All right, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of who could, I mean, I love all of them. I'm a big fan, particularly of Rustin, partly because it's brand new and it's a story that so few people know. 10,000 Black Men Named George is another one I often recommend to folks. Gosh, maybe Union Maids, which is another classic. I don't know. I'm at a loss, dude. You're going to have to help me out. Who won? Who won? I'm just, again, on the edge of my seat.
Our winner in this category was Cesar Chavez from 2014.
To be successful, we have to have an army of boycotters willing to do the hard work. The bigger the army, the bigger the success.
Farm workers in Delano, California, have begun an unprecedented strike in the Central Valley.
They've been coming in bigger numbers ever since Chavez quit eating. How long can a man go without food?
It depends on the man, John. Everything depends on the man.
Once social change begins, it can't be reversed. You can't humiliate someone who has pride. And you can't oppress someone who's not afraid anymore.
So this is a biopic about Cesar Chavez. And I think it's a little interesting in terms of a biopic because it's not the type of movie that follows him from the time he was a teenager to him finding himself. You're dropped kind of in the middle of things where he's already a very well-established organizer. It gives you a little bit of context about who he is, but it really lets the action speak for itself. And I think that that resonates a lot with audiences because this movie doesn't paint Cesar Chavez as a saint or this sort of untouchable, amazing person that's not saying that he wasn't, but you know what I mean. It's not too heavy on the idolization, which is something you want to be cautious with biopics. And it makes Cesar Chavez a very relatable, real character that you're able to follow. And I will say that this movie gives a beautiful blend of strategy and then kind of the on-the-boots organizing, because I think a lot of these films are either one or the other. You have labor organizers on the ground, picketing, interacting with employers, or you have a movie about executives or union leaders sitting at a bargaining table or a courtroom or something like that. And I think you kind of get both of those flavors with Cesar Chavez, which makes it unique for this list, but also just a really, I'd say, informative watch because you see kind of how these decisions are made, what they're thinking through, and you get to learn a little bit more about the farm workers' struggle, which I think especially for people of my generation, we definitely need to know about because it connects directly to the same issues that are going on in Florida and parts of Southern California now.
All right, so brings us to your fifth and final category, worst movie about unions. Certainly those of us that have been programming labor films for years are well aware of this category. I don't know that I ever actually thought of it as a category, so thank you for that. But if you can talk a little bit about how you came up with this, what was the thinking there?
Yeah, I mean, this, like you said, is not a category you're going to see at the Oscars. So we went off the beaten path there a little bit, but we really just wanted to have fun with this one and also acknowledge the fact that on our list of 55, they're not all gems. But I think that that partially points to the fact that we don't have enough movies about labor, at least in the United States, and that that's a concerted effort on Hollywood Studios' part to not give these people voices and not give these stories voices and resonance and not let audiences connect with these types of people. So go out there and see movies like Rustin and other movies about labor and organizing and civil rights and all of those things. Go support them in the theater and put money in the box offices because that's how those films are going to keep getting made, unfortunately. And the fact that we have so little to choose from in terms of really great, good movies that we can say here are 55 of the best labor movies of all time. I hope we get to that place one day, but I think that until then, it's fun to talk about bad labor movies like this. So you have a lot of labor movies that are either A, just a bad movie, they're slow moving, not entertaining, poorly produced, poorly written. B, romanticize certain aspects of labor organizing. In the case of the pajama game, quite literally, where a union organizer falls in love with the employer, and at the end, he suddenly has a change of heart, as you could see coming. But I think also see there's movies that just really brutalize labor in terms of its portrayal of labor and violence, which I think is an important aspect to some of these stories. But I think some films, it gets a little gratuitous and it feels more about a movie about corruption and political violence than it does a movie about worker power or unions or collective action. So I think that this category is a good way to kind of bring that conversation together in a bit of a more fun way.
So much to talk about. You could do a whole show just talking about these. Why don't you go ahead and just, if you can share with folks the five that made the final cut.
The five are Boxcar Bertha from 1972, Inside Detroit from 1956, The Pajama Game from 1957, Fist from 1978, and Hoffa, 1992. The people that we had on the blogcast, our judges and our audience, are all labor-focused people, so that's obviously the perspective that they're going to come from, but that's not the only value that these movies have. Jennifer Marin, who is the president of the Alliance of Women Film Journalists, spoke very eloquently about the task that labor organizers and people who care about labor have of sort of monitoring the way that labor is portrayed. Because Hollywood studios aren't too friendly to labor unions. So I think it's an important thing to balance of just being a normal movie enjoyer, but also having that kind of watchful, critical eye of, well, now why are they portraying them that way? Or why is this person so violent or aggressive or put in this position or things like that? So I think it's an interesting conversation to have.
Drum roll, please. The envelope. Who is the winner? Let me see if I can guess here. Maybe Hoffa? I'm not sure. You spare me the suspense. Hit me with it.
You're correct on another one, Chris. It was Hoffa.
20th Century Fox proudly presents a Danny DeVito film.
Brothers, we are going to march. We are going to hold together. And we are going to get what we came down here for.
He was capable of anything.
All I'm saying is there's a lot more there for us. That's right, that's just, that's doous, and it's possible.
He wasn't afraid of anyone.
He said, why shouldn't he take you out in the alley and beat you until you beg for death?
Tell him he gives me a cup of coffee, I'll answer his questions.
That's why everyone was afraid of him.
The Justice Department has plenty on you, Mr. Hoffa.
You don't impress me.
He didn't want law, he wanted justice.
I'm gonna do what I gotta do, get the union back!
There was a meeting.
I'm gonna do what I gotta do!
It's just not a great film. It's a little boring somehow while still trying to be action-packed, and it doesn't move at the right pace. It's a little, I don't really know the right word, but it just didn't excite. And I think the fact that there are so many issues politically and historically with the way that it portrayed Jimmy Hoffa and the way that it glamorized violence and corruption in unions, which became more about corrupt power and people abusing power than it did really being about the union. I think that that didn't resonate with audiences.
Hey, listen, before we wrap up, just a couple of quick sort of questions. You yourself are, as you mentioned, you're a younger person yourself. And for me, as somebody who's been going to film since I was quite young, when films were actually not available 24/7 and you could watch them on your phone, it's very exciting to me to see folks who appreciate and are interested in film, right? I just wonder if you could just talk a little bit about your own relationship to film, but also maybe the things that you've learned or observations in going through this particular contest and putting it together and the work that you've done on it.
I've just loved going to the movies forever. It's always been a way for me to connect with my family and kind of engage in conversation with them. And same thing with my friends. It's probably one of the things we do most commonly is just find something on a streaming service to put on. And whether we talk through it or talk about it, it's always a great time. And I think it's a really interesting entry point for a lot of conversations like these, where you can have your hand in 30 different pies, but still be having a coherent conversation about film. So I find it very exciting and stimulating to search things out and create lists of things I'd like to watch, lists of things I've seen. I think more generally in terms of what I realized putting together this list is that there are just so many movies out there, and you almost get that feeling where it's like, I'm never going to be able to see all of these because there's just so many great ones to watch.
Welcome to my world, brother. Welcome to my world.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's, I mean, 55 is a place to start for sure. But I encourage everyone to find a movie you like on there and seek out others like it, to look into the directors that were featured, the movies that they've made. I think that part of the joy of doing something like this is getting the opportunity to, you know, sift through titles and directors and things that I definitely have never heard of. And I think that people who either aren't into labor or aren't into film or vice versa, that there's so much crossover here just on this list of the ways that these conversations intersect and these movements intersect. I mean, we saw what happened in Hollywood, or all over the country, really, with the actors and writers strike. So I think that it's important for people to do the work of going back and looking back at what was important, what was influential, what inspired people, what moved people, because we also have, like you said, access to every movie at our fingertips. So that comes with a ton of privilege of getting to explore and select and do all of those things. But it's also very easy for films like The Land from 1970 from Egypt to get kind of lost in the murk. So I think that the more people we have doing things like this, talking about labor film, talking about any kind of film, the more support that we give to the creators, the industry, and like you said, the workers.
Joseph Prant, thanks so much. Congratulations to you and the entire Power at Work blog and podcast crew for Labor Oscars 2024. It's a great contest, really exciting, and just a wonderful addition to everything that's been going on with Labor Films. And just a big congratulations to you all.
Thanks so much, Chris. We really appreciate it and all the support we get from the Labor Radio Podcast Network. It's been great working with everybody. And I just want to say to our audience, please go check out our awards ceremony to hear a little bit more about these films, hear from our judges on which films they pick, their predictions. And we are hoping to do events like this in the future. So whether it's with movies, whether it's with other kinds of media, we are excited about how well this went and looking to do more like it. So go to the front page of the Power at Work blog and subscribe, and you will not miss any of our future events, surveys, content, anything. So thanks again for having me, Chris. It's been great.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1911. That was the day that coal miners in Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania, walked out of the mines. It became known as the Slovak Strike because 70% of the strikers were Slovakian immigrants. Unrest was mounting among workers in the non-unionized coal fields. Tens of thousands of miners were signing up to be members of the United Mine Workers of America. And the union was winning improved working conditions and wages for their members, including the 8-hour day. But the Westmoreland miners were not unionized. They still had to work 10-hour days. Then the Keystone Coal Company required the miners to use new safety lights and explosives. The miners had to pay for these items out of their own pockets. Outraged, the miners met to formulate a response. 400 men joined up to a new UMWA local. The company cracked down immediately. They fired 100 men who had attended the meeting. Some were long-term employees who had worked for more than two decades in the mines. The miners walked off the job to protest the firings. Soon, the strike spread beyond the Keystone Coal Company. Miners joined the strike from 65 mines belonging to 30 companies. The mining companies responded with every tactic in their arsenals. They evicted the miners from their company homes. They won injunctions against picketing. They recruited recent immigrants from Eastern Europe as scabs. They paid off police who responded brutally to the strikers. 16 miners were killed. Although the strikers held out for 16 months, the strike ended in defeat, with many of the strikers being blacklisted from future work in the coal fields. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
And that's it for this week's edition of Labor History Today. You can subscribe to LHT on your favorite podcast app. Even better if you like what you hear, and we sure hope you do. Like it in your podcast app, pass along, and leave a review. That really helps folks to find the show. Labor History in 2 is a partnership between the Illinois Labor History Society and the Rick Smith Show, a labor-themed radio show out of Pennsylvania. Special thanks this week to the Power at Work podcast. You can hear their show on the Labor Oscars. Just search for Power at Work wherever you listen to podcasts. We've got a link in the show notes as well. Labor History Today is produced by the Labor Heritage Foundation and the Kalmanovitz Initiative for Labor and the Working Poor at Georgetown University. You can keep up with all the latest labor arts news. Subscribe to the Labor Heritage Foundation's free weekly newsletter at laborheritage.org. The Labor History Today team includes Ben Blake, Patrick Dixon, Leon Fink, Sherry Lincoln, Joe McCartan, Evan Papp, Jessica Pozak, and Alan Weirdak. For Labor History Today, this has been Chris Garlock. Thanks so much for listening. Keep making history. And by the way, this year's DC Labor Film Fest schedule will be out soon, so we'll see you at the movies in May.